All right, Psalm 119 in your Bibles, please. Psalm 119. It is an absolute joy to be back here at West Branch. It's going to be back in the state of Arizona. This is the state where I first saw a real road runner. It was in Tucson. How many of you from Tucson area? I know some of you are. Okay. So I was at a meeting, and my fifth wheel was parked at a KOA, and I took a walk out in, I don't know what you call it here, but it looked like a forest of cactus. And as I was walking down the trail, a roadrunner went across, and that's the first time I saw one other than in the cartoon. And then I went around the bend, and then I saw a coyote. And so I thought, should I watch? And I decided that maybe he would decide to run after me, so I left. But at any rate, good to be here in this part of the country. I was actually born in Durango, Colorado, so not too far away. But I grew up, unfortunately, in Chicago. But this is a neat part of the world, and this is a wonderful camp. I thank the Lord for what he's doing here. And for you contestants, thank you for your hard work that went into that and the fine job that you did. My wife would have enjoyed that, especially. She is a pianist. And so she plays the piano, my son plays the nunchucks, and I play Spotify, but whatever. Well, let's look at the Word of God this morning, Psalm 119. I'm thankful for what we've already heard. One thing that I really appreciate about camps is when I get to come to a camp to preach, I get to hear preaching. Most of the time, I'm in a local church, and I'm the one preaching. But at a camp, there's other preachers, and I'm always blessed and always helped and already been stirred last night and this morning. But let's look at the Word of God this morning. I hope you have your Bible, and we're going to look at Psalm 119, three verses here, and may the Lord speak His truth to our hearts this morning. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." So he talks about seeking thee. With my whole heart have I sought thee, and thy word have I hid, which means treasured. I want to speak on finding the treasure of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd bless this time. Lord, bless your truth to our hearts. Lord, would you speak to everyone that's here? And Spirit of God, may we know that we are hearing your voice. Give us understanding. Nurture faith in our hearts. Use truth to set free, Lord, to make a difference. And so, Lord, I plead the victory of Jesus through the shed blood. And, Lord, in your name, we claim the victory that you won when you said it is finished and won the victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. Would you manifest that now? Breathe on us now. Speak to us now. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you have ever been on a treasure hunt of some sort? Would you raise your hand? You know, maybe even if the Easter egg hunt, whatever. Okay, a number of you have. I remember when I was in the second grade back at our church in Chicago, and it actually was in the city limits, which means we did not have a parking lot. But at any rate, this is where the church was, and we lived over on the south side. That was by Nabisco factory. That was kind of cool when the wind shifted, and you could smell the cookies baking. But at any rate, the church was in that same basic area as well, and we had an evangelist come in, and they were going to have a very special event for the young people, for the children and the teenagers, and they announced a treasure hunt. They announced that they were going to hide money, like in bushes or wherever, all around. There wasn't much of a church property there. Had a big building, but just a little bit of edging around it, some sidewalks and so forth. And they said, we're going to hide money, nickels, dimes, and quarters, which in those days, that actually meant something. Today, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But also $1 bills, $5 bills, $10 bills, $20 bills. I can't remember if there were 50s and 100s, but at any rate, a 20 back in those days sounded huge. And so they told us, invite your friends and bring them. We'll have a special treasure hunt, and the evangelist will preach the gospel. So I went down the street, and there was a boy down there, a friend of mine named Henry, and I invited Henry. He came, and so we all got there. All the kids were there, and they gave us the ground rules, and when they blew that whistle, I mean, kids were tearing into everything, in the bushes, in the hedges, all sorts of things, looking for the treasure, and sure enough, I could hear the teenagers, man, I got a 5, hey, I got a 10, and they're going around, and Henry and I were not doing well. Well, then I saw a brick, and I turned it upside down, and guess what I found? 2 dimes. Oh, man. Well, at least it was something. I gave 1 dime to him, and 1 dime I kept. Now, that one didn't go too well, but when I was in the fourth grade, we had a Christian school by that time. It's still on that property, and the teacher announced that she had put some candy in a large plastic egg, and there was going to be a hunt for the girls and then a hunt for the guys. And so when it was time for the guys, we started tearing into everything, looking, and time just kept going, and nobody was finding it. Well, the building was a tall building. It had stained glass windows, and next to it there were large bushes, and the bushes kind of grew up and then over to the building, and it kind of formed a cave-like effect underneath. So I got to thinking, I wonder if it's back there. So a little dark back there, but I went back there, and I'm going down this way, and another kid had come in from the other side. He's come the other way, and we came to a spot where we were now just a few yards from each other, and the window had gone past where the tree hit, and then there was a window sill kind of hidden away, and we both looked up, and there was that egg. And we both made a dash, and I got it, and he cried, but it didn't matter. That one turned out pretty well. Well, in our text, that word hid is the idea of treasured. We'll come to that, but let's start back in verse 9 and just walk through this. It says, wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way? Now notice, this is not just how to clean your conscience. I'm sure we'll deal with that sooner or later. But it says, wherewithal or how shall a young man, a young person, cleanse his way? In other words, how can he cleanse his path? How can he get on a path that's not always leading to stumbling and dirt and sin in his life? How can he cleanse his way, his path? And then it says, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So here we see God's word lifted up to a very valuable priority that somehow it is going to be key in cleansing our way, cleansing a path that has been tripping us up and getting on a path that doesn't. It says, by taking heed, that's critical, according to thy word. Then it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Now, young people, it took me decades to get this. Don't take that long. The pursuit is of a person. His name is Jesus. With my whole heart have I sought thee. In other words, it's not a set of rituals. It's the person of God himself seeking God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. There's that passion for the person, for the relationship. And then it says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. So here's this connection between the words of God and the person of God. Now, in John chapter 1, the Lord Jesus is called the Word. So we know there is a mystery of oneness between the incarnate Word, Jesus Christ, and the inscribed Word that we find right here in the Bible. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid, and that is that word treasured, valued, in my, and what's the next word? Heart. Now, why do we often interpret that as if it says mind? It's not what it says. It includes the mind, but the word here is precise. Thy word have I hid or treasured or valued in my heart. So what's the heart? Well, the heart, briefly, is the collective response of your soul. You say, okay, what's the soul? The soul is your mind. You do have one. Your affections and your will. In other words, a triangle has how many sides? Three. Okay. So when it comes to the soul, there are three parts. In other words, it's like a triangle. I often liken it to a triangle because a triangle has to have three sides. And there are three parts to your soul. There's your mind, there is your affections, and then there is your will. So on a given day, even like today, a lot of thoughts come in and out of our mind. You're walking down the pathway here. You might see a rabbit. I saw one this morning. You see this, see that. The wind's blowing. You see something blowing away. We have a lot of thoughts that come into our mind, and most of them get kicked right back out. But some of them are important, and we latch onto them. We begin to chew on them. Some things are really important, and so we embrace it, and when we do, it affects us. Ah, that's that part of your soul called the affections. It's where what you understand affects you. And those affections produce involuntary emotions, and all of that pushes us to the third part of the triangle, your will, your chooser. It pushes us to make, or influences us to make, the choices that we make. So it's your mind where you understand, your affections where you're affected by it, and all of that is why you make the choices you make. And that collective response is the Bible word heart. And so it says here, thy word, God's truth, have I treasured, have I valued, I've latched onto it in my heart. More than the mind, it's also your affections, it's also your will, it is that collective response. And this verse says, thy word have I treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. You know, maybe you're here and you got some sin habits already that are plaguing you. You've already developed some pathways in your brain that trigger regularly, and you're tempted, and so on. Well, here's a great truth. Thy word have I treasured in my heart. More than the mind, I've treasured in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So we're seeking the Lord. We're finding the treasure of Jesus. We're seeking the Lord himself in the written word until we experience Jesus, the living word. Now, how does this work? Well, let's just follow that collective response of the soul. Number one, first side of that triangle, we might say, inform your mind with the word of God. Now, we live in the day where there's apps and there's all sorts of avenues to put things in your mind. Now, young people, Jesus said, thy word is truth, John 17:17. Inform your mind with truth. We live in the day of lies. We live in the day of misinformation, disinformation, propaganda, intentional lies to influence people. Young people, inform your mind with truth. And Jesus said, thy word, God's word, is truth. So how do we do that? Well, one of the most obvious starting places is you read. You know, when you hear read your Bible, pray every day. Look, you need the truth. That's why we need to read. Now, my dad was a pastor, and I remember as we would come into a new year, he would challenge our church there in Chicago, if people had never yet read the Bible all the way through, to read it all the way through. In fact, let me ask you, how many have ever read the Bible all the way through already? All right? Wonderful. A number of you have. All right, so others of you can take this challenge. My dad would challenge young people. He'd challenge the whole church. He'd challenge adults. Hey, why don't you read your Bible through this year? And he always had a plan. Sometimes it was, you know, 3 chapters a day, 5 on Sunday. Sometimes it's 4 chapters a day. There's all these different ways to do it. Well, when I was in the 5th grade, a couple of the guys said, hey, let's do this. Pastor's challenging us to read the Bible through a whole year. We've never done it. Let's do it. So we started. Man, we got into Genesis. That was pretty cool because that's stories. And then we got into Exodus. Well, the first part of that story is, and then there's some pretty heavy detail on the tabernacle, but we made it. And then we got into Leviticus, and that was really different. And then we got into Numbers, and there's Numbers, but there's also some stories. And we kept going, and I made it my fifth grade year, all the way to Chronicles. And that was a roadblock. And somehow I got bogged down in Chronicles. But the next year or so, I can't remember if it was the next year or the next year, I made it all the way from Genesis to Revelation. So I was in junior high, I guess. And so I kept doing that through high school each year, reading the Bible through, and through college. And then I was in grad school, and I was a preacher boy. I was called to preach. And so I was in a class called Old Testament Theology. And the teacher gets up and says, all right, guys, pull out a half a sheet of paper. You're studying for the ministry. Tell me how many times you've read the Old Testament. Wow. Well, I started adding up. Okay, junior high, it's got to be at least 12. There was one guy on the high end who had read the Old Testament 17 times. And at this stage, we're like 22 or 23. Most of the guys had read the Old Testament 0 or 1 or maybe 1.5. Now, look, don't be that guy. You start now. Inform your mind. Do you know if you even just read the Bible 15 minutes a day? That's not very long. They say if you read the Bible 15 minutes a day at pulpit rate, I don't know what rate that is because some guys talk fast and some guys talk slow, but whatever they mean by pulpit speed, if you read 15 minutes a day, you'll read the entire Bible through in 1 year. My point is just start informing your mind. But it's not just reading, hearing. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There was a day when there was no printing press, and most people did not have their own copy of the Bible. We are very privileged to live in the age in which we live. It used to be that they would just hear it, but the Bible does say faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Did you notice in the schedule of West Branch, there's preaching? Why? Because all of us need God's truth. We can't treasure God's word in our heart if we don't start with the mind. Now, it's more than the mind, as we're going to see, but it does start there. And God has chosen to use the method of what he calls preaching, the foolishness of preaching. How does this work? Well, when the Holy Spirit gets in the equation, God speaks to you. I can be listening to somebody, and all of a sudden, there's a truth that just comes alive, and the Spirit of God says, that's for you, that's for this situation. And see, that's God informing you with his will, his direction, through his word, his truth. So, the means for informing the mind, read the word of God, hear it, it's critical. Even memorize it. You know, there's more to it than that, much more we're going to see, but memorizing is a great help. I remember when I was a kid, we had family devotions, and Dad one day said, well, if you'll start memorizing some passages of Scripture, I'll give you a quarter. And again, back in the 1970s, that meant a lot. Quarter was a lot. Today it's nothing. But at any rate, I got a quarter for Psalm 23, Psalm 100. I can still quote those Psalms today. And that was neat. I remember when I was in the sixth grade, there was a kid in my class. I wasn't trying to see his paper when the teacher was handing back the test after they were graded, but I happened to notice the big letter F on his paper, and more than once I'm thinking, oh man, things aren't going well. Do you know that young man decided he would start memorizing verses, Bible verses? He was very dedicated about it. He was a disciplined guy. He was an athlete of athletes. He was the size he is today, he was that size in the sixth grade. I was a little shrimp, and he was this big, strong kid. Now I'm much taller than him, but nonetheless, he was a disciplined guy in sports, and he applied that discipline now to memorizing the Word of God. And guess who graduated the valedictorian of our class? That guy. The guy that had F's in the sixth grade. And he began to put the Word of God on his mind, and even just the process of memorizing sharpens your mind. But more than that, it's the Word of God he was memorizing, and that is, God blessed him. I remember when I was a senior, I was good friends with a sophomore. We were both called to preach and so on, and he got a hold of some book that was memorize a verse a day. And I'm thinking, man, a verse a day, we're already memorizing it for classes and this and that, verse a day. He said, I'm going to do this. He started doing it. I thought, well, you can do it, I can do it. So I started memorizing a verse a day. Man, that was really cool. I did that through most of my college years. And so I could quote, you know, 2 Timothy or whatever. What I really liked is when a big test was coming up, you know, beginning of the semester, they'd map out all these verses you had to memorize. Well, I just threw them on my verse a day plan, you know. And so by the time I got to the test, I had a memorized review ready to go. I didn't have to do anything to prepare for the test. My roommates were dying, and I wasn't. That was a lot of fun. And so on. So that's a help. But if all you do is inform your mind, you're not fulfilling what this verse is talking about. I remember when I was a young preacher, I heard an older preacher say, if you want victory over sin. Well, that caught my attention because I needed it. He said, so if you want victory over sin, memorize Romans chapter 6. And I thought, is that all? I could do that. You know, as I'm telling you, I was already on memory plans and so on. I thought, I was a good memorizer in those days. not so much today, but in those days I was. And so I thought, I can do this. So I memorized Romans 6. Man, I could stand and I could quote it flawlessly. And guess what happened? Nothing. Except that I could quote Romans chapter 6. Because if you don't comprehend, if you're not understanding and convinced of and believing what you understand, then it's just an intellectual exercise. So we have to go beyond just informing our mind. A second part of our soul is what we call the affections. We'll word it this way. Let yourself be affected by the Spirit of God. Okay, so inform your mind with the Word of God, first side of the triangle of your soul. Now, secondly, let yourself be affected, taught, convinced by the Spirit of God. In other words, holy men of God, we're told in 1 Peter, spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. The ultimate author of the Bible is the Holy Spirit. So as we interact with the words, as we read, as we listen, like in a service like this, even memorize. Secondly, look to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand. Look, if you're saved, He lives in you. And as the psalmist cried out, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." You can ask the Spirit of the living God to give you understanding. You can ask Him to illumine the truth. You can ask Him to convince you of the truth. You know, understanding, it's important. If you look down in verse 15, it says, "I will meditate." How do we understand? Well, how do you let the Holy Spirit help you understand? It's through thinking about it. Now, all of us know what meditation is. I knew what it was to meditate on the soccer game during English class. that kind of thing. I played ball in high school, and I remember sitting in class, you know, whether it's English, math, whatever, and thinking about 4 o'clock, thinking about strutting out in that field with our uniforms on, and all that kind of stuff, you know. And I was on the starting lineup, and we were good in those days. Now, that's when Christian schools were huge. Our school was like 500 kids and stuff, and we had lots of problems, but nonetheless, we had good teams. But they had to work on that. But nonetheless, I remember sitting there meditating on that game, you know, the ball coming down the field, bam, right in the right-hand corner, beautiful shot. And, you know, I was meditating. Okay, now, all of us know how to meditate. So there's a connection between meditating and the Spirit of God opening your understanding. Verse 15 says, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." Jump down to verse 99. Same psalm here. He says, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." Wow. "For thy testimonies are my meditation." You see, as you chew on the truth that's now in your mind, look to the Spirit of God. And as you meditate, He'll open your understanding so that you see the truth that's connected to the words. You see, even as you're hearing preaching and you're thinking about what is being said, and we've prayed and we asked the Spirit of God, I prayed at the beginning of this message, for the Spirit of God to open our understanding. See, that's what we're talking about. We're asking God to give us a grasp of the truth. And in that illumination, the Holy Spirit convinces you. Jesus said He's the convincer, John 16, 8. And so He is the one who persuades us. He's the one who convinces us. And so Joshua 1, verse 8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Psalm 1, verses 1 and following, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." See, wrong information, "nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord." See, right information, first point. "And in his law doth he meditate." See, here's the second point. This is where the Spirit of God gives us understanding, gives us that grasp of the truth. "In his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." You talk about a promise to hang on to. Whatever he does will prosper. That's what God promises to those who meditate. Why? Because when you meditate, the Holy Spirit opens your understanding. You see the truth, you get convinced of it. And when you're convinced, you're now affected. Now you can get to that third part of your soul where you actually make choices. So number one, inform your mind with the Word of God. Secondly, let yourself be affected by the Spirit of God. And now thirdly, respond in faith to the living Word. You see, the combination of the written Word, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God, that brings us to the living Word. In other words, Jesus is called the Word, John chapter 1. It's more than black ink on a white page or red ink on a white page, depending on where you're at in the Bible. It is the truth. It is the Spirit of God giving you understanding so that you see the truth of God. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." And you're literally meeting with the person. And so when we have this combination of the written Word of God and then the Spirit of God, now we are really meeting with the living Word, and we can respond in faith to the living Word, to God based on His words, to Jesus based on His truth. Again, Joshua 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. You see, God wants us to take hold of the truth, to trust Him based on His words. See, that's faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But faith is dependence on God. But what's the basis for that? It's His words. You see, it's dependence on God based on His words. Another way to say that is you're depending on the living Word. Now the truth has come alive. And when that's real, you can trust. Otherwise, it's wishful thinking. This is not a matter of you just taking your Bible and saying, well, you know, let me try this promise. No, it's when you are seeking the Lord and He opens your eyes and He stirs you. Look, you may come in to a week like this and you can ask the Lord, Lord, I don't want to just enjoy everything. I want to enjoy everything. I want to have fun. But God, I want You to speak to me. I want to hear from You. I want to know that You are speaking Your truth to my heart. I don't want to just sit in services. I want to hear Your voice. And young people, when you have a passion for God, when you seek Him, He will be found of you. That's what the Bible says repeatedly. And friends, when that happens, you meet with God, and that's when revival takes place. Because it's His life. Vive, life, revive, life again. It's when you're saved, the life of Jesus moves in, and now you access Him as the abundant life. And so, respond in faith to Him. You see, when He stirs you, it's not just so you can walk out and say, man, I got stirred. Now look, already this morning, God stirred some young people about the matter of salvation. It probably started last night. And here we heard this message, that sobering truth on the matter of judgment and hell. Very difficult subject. Very well done. And some of you know God was speaking to you. Now look, you got to respond. You got to come to that point where it said, God, I'm a sinner. I deserve that judgment. But Jesus, You died for me. You rose again. And I now take You as my Savior. See, that's the faith response. It is dependence upon the person based on words. And when that happens, that's when you get saved. And by the way, that's how you grow. It may be this week that there's some habit in your life you're thinking, man, this is a pain in the neck. I got into this bad habit, started watching junk I shouldn't watch, and now my mind is all messed up. I need victory. Well, seek God. Ask God to give you truth this very week that'll set you free from that debilitating habit. That was for effect. Now, friends, what I'm talking about is real. God can set you free. God is faithful. That's stated throughout the Word of God. And one of the verses where that is stated is the verse on temptation. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make the way of escape that you might be able to bear it. You let God, the Spirit, speak a truth like that into your heart, and then in the face of temptation, you can take Jesus as your way of escape. And guess what? He doesn't have bad habits. And you're free. See, that's what we're talking about. It may be you got an anger problem. Maybe a streak of just meanness. Well, why don't you ask God, God, give me the truth that You know I need that'll set me free. God delights today. See, we're right at this. We're in the first full day of camp. Ask God to give you the specific truth in His Word. And to so convince you of it that you respond actually believing it. Not wishful thinking, but confidence that God will do what He said. And I'm going to tell you, God will change you. He will set you free. He will equip you with His life and power for witness. See, all of this comes together. And I'm sure this will be unfolded in many other services. But that's what we're talking about. Where you trust Him and He gives you His life and power to obey. We'll see that in more detail later on this week, Lord willing. Treasuring Jesus. I remember when I was in high school, I read an account in Reader's Digest about a scuba diver I always liked the underwater world. I still do. If God had not called me to preach, I would have been underwater. But at any rate, this scuba diver, he had studied, you know, the various ships from Spain and from Europe that had come to South America and taken gold, and some of them sank on the way back. And there was one ship that had never been found, and it was supposed to have a ton of gold and sunken treasure, as they say. Well, he did his homework. He worked a job, saved his money. He hired a team of scuba divers. They went to the spot that he thought it was. They went down, and they couldn't find it. So then he runs out of money, so into that expedition. And so he saves up more money over the next number of months, and he studies more. Okay, we got it wrong, got it right. You know, it happened here. It's going back to Spain. They were over here. They're trying to figure it out. And so he made several attempts, each time not finding it, until about the fourth attempt, I think it was, he studied some more, worked hard, saved some more money, hired that team, and they went down, and there was that ship, and it was loaded. Millions of dollars worth of gold. You know what the Bible says about the Word of God and the words of God? In Psalm 19, we're in Psalm 119, but in Psalm 19, verse 10, the Scripture says of God's words, "More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold." Why? Gold can't give you victory over sin. Gold cannot empower you to witness so that people actually understand and get saved. Gold can't do that. But Jesus can, and Jesus is the living Word. And He's at oneness with the Word. All of these words are the foundation of faith so that we can trust in Jesus based on His words. And find the treasure of Jesus Himself. Young people, will you decide to trust God to inform your mind with His truth, the Word of God? You don't have to wait until you're 55 to start reading the Bible. Read it now. And ask God to speak to you. And as you come into services, ask God to speak to you. And even when you memorize, God, give me understanding, so that you move beyond that information of the mind to letting the Spirit of God affect you, convince you, teach you, persuade you, so that now you can respond in faith and it be real faith and not wishful thinking. When that happens, you're experiencing Jesus, the living Word, the treasure Himself.